give, bless those I couldn't give.
But Lord, send your blessing now upon each and every one, I pray. In and through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's continue to stand and sing this.
Yes, this whole time for us, never father to her. It's a promise to me. We only have it. Oh Lord, set the heart up now.
We're so happy and free, and crossed over Jordan, the Canaan's for long, and this is like heaven to me.
We find many people who have never said, we are so happy and free. We crossed over Jordan, the King, their land, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me.
Each one tonight, we give every one of our warm welcome in their service. I was going to apologize for not having the meetings, but it's not one thing I can do about it. And only my auntie Eileen mentioned till Mark on Wednesday. I was all prepared to come Wednesday and studied the night before and everything and advertised the service, and didn't know that we didn't have the hall available. And then we didn't have it available this morning either. So they never mentioned anything to me. And he said, I think he did tell you. And I said, no, you didn't tell me. So I apologize for that. So it's just one of them things. There's nothing we can do about it. But the Lord bless those that's made the effort to come tonight. Praise God. You know, I was thinking about the service tonight. There's only one thing I couldn't get out of my head. Is from Proverbs 29 verse 1, just to get the word, but I'm not really wanting to preach from that portion so much as just to get that one phrase. I want to read also from 1 John chapter 1 verse 7, but Proverbs 29 verse 1, you know, I mentioned the other week somebody had sent me a message about two gospels, and they went into a whole big string of stuff about these two gospels. And then I was going to be judged according to Paul's gospel. I'd have to watch myself. Now, the Bible does talk about Paul's gospel, but that's the same gospel. There's only one gospel.
Amen.
So this fella sent me a few messages. So I says to myself, I'm going to ask him one question. and I want to see what he answers to me, because he's talking about the Gentiles and the Jews. And it's not for one, it's for the other. So what I asked him was, what happened to Peter? Whose gospel was his tell? Because when he was on the upper roof and he had the experience with all everything come down, all unclean, and what did God say to him? Don't call what I've cleansed common or unclean. The gospel's to all. It's to all. But he never answered that. That finished it. And then I knew about it. I asked him, how was he baptized? Amen. That would have cured him. Acts 2:38. Amen. He wouldn't have been baptized like that. He'd have been baptized in three titles. Amen. That wasn't Paul's gospel either, by the way. That was the one he was following that some man made from 325 AD. But you see, there's things that's close, but they're false. And I really felt it on my heart tonight to bring someone about God's remedy. God's remedy. And there's only one remedy for sin, and God has the remedy. And I refute and disbelieve, and I'm against any doctrine that says you can save your own self. It's from the pit. I call it Cain's message. That's who started it. Cain. He had his gospel, but God didn't receive his gospel. Abel had one. It was a bloody message. God received it. Amen. The standards we have to hold to, that we can't compromise. Some things are not important, but there's some that are. Like Brother Andrew preached, if they're not on the foundation, they're nothing. Praise God, we want them on the real foundation. Let's read Proverbs 29, verse 1. The Lord bless each one. Hopefully we'll be back Wednesday night, the Lord will, as normal. And this is the weather for a baptismal service. Now I was meant to go with Gary and look at a spot, but I've just been that busy. I haven't had the chance, but we'll do it, brother. We'll see who wants baptized. I'd like to preach on it again as well, that everyone gets an understanding, not just about the name, but what it's all for. Amen. Let's read this then, verse 1 of Proverbs 29. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall be suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now I'm just reading that to get that word remedy, but I'm going to use that word remedy tonight, and there's no remedy for him that's reproved and hardeneth his neck, but there is a remedy for them that's willing. There is a remedy. 1 John 1 verse 7. For if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let us bow our heads tonight. If you have a need tonight, just slip your hand up before the Lord. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the remedy. The remedy for mankind was a cross and the blood of Jesus Christ, the precious blood, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. What a remedy. What a remedy. We plead the merits of that precious blood afresh tonight on our lives, over this house and all that's in it, all that's near and dear to every one of us. We plead the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb of God tonight, and we claim household salvation. Amen. In Jesus' precious name. Father, I pray for the hands raised tonight. Give them whatever remedy they need. In Jesus' precious name, meet their needs. Answer their prayers. Lord, we ask you, you'll forgive us for our shortcomings. Anything we've said wrong or amiss or out of place, sanctify us and wash us afresh in the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, I take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. I need your help, Lord. I pray you'll help me. I pray you'll come off these pages. Pray the Holy Ghost will move in this building. Pray the Spirit of God will convict men and women and save them and deliver them and heal them and set them free. And Father, that you'll get all the praise and all the glory, and that none shall be seen save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Bless us now. in Jesus' precious name. And Lord, for those that couldn't be here tonight, bless them and be with them. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. And God bless you, Brother Simon, as well. Good news. The wee baby coming, that's God's gift. And we just thank the Lord for every little one born. That's the Lord's gift, especially in an age of abortion, where they regard life as nothing. And we just thank the Lord for the real life. Amen. The only remedy for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to say that from the start of this message tonight. There is no other remedy for sin, only the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. I'll never forget the evening, late into the night, when I was wakened with a voice. And the voice spoke to me, a scripture was Isaiah 1 verse 18. And I woke from a bed and took the old blue Bible that I used to have when I went from Sunday school, and Romans 8 fell out of it. I read it that much. But that was Isaiah 1 verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be white as the wool, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God gave me a remedy for my sin that night. And I took God's remedy. And God's remedy worked then, and God's remedy works now. God's remedy cannot be enhanced to make it better, for it was perfect at the start. God's remedy can't fail. It can't be improved on. God's remedy is as real today as it ever was. And it remains the same because Jesus Christ is, Hebrews 13 verse 8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his remedy remains the same. Joining the church is not a remedy. Joining the Orange Lodge is not a remedy. Joining a movement's not the remedy. Or been born a Protestant's not the remedy. Been born a Catholic's not the remedy. There's only one remedy for man and women, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. The Catholic needs the blood. The Protestant needs the blood. Amen. The Orange man needs the blood. The Republican needs the blood. Every single person needs the blood of Jesus Christ. They need this remedy. Amen. And without this remedy, they're lost. Lost for all time. And lost for all eternity. But thank God for this remedy. There's a scarlet cord that runs through the Bible that binds every page, every word, every line, every chapter. And that scarlet cord ends at the place called Calvary. It starts in the book of Genesis and it runs the whole way to Calvary. It wasn't a man that began this doctrine, and it wasn't man that started this off, but God himself began it in the garden. When he sacrificed an animal and he clothed his children that were naked so that they were no more naked. And there is a clothing for us today, and that clothing is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that Leviticus 17 verse 14 tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And the Bible says, and I have given it for you. Jesus Christ gave his life's blood for us. That means he died for us. In our room and in our stead, he took our place. He that knew no sin, that had no sin, become a curse. Because the Bible says in Galatians, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And we were under a curse. And we were under the penalty of death because of sin. But Jesus Christ took our place. And he gave us a remedy. Thank God for the remedy tonight. There's absolutely only one remedy for sin, and it is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, tonight, the blood cleanses from sins past. Past sins. I want to tell you tonight, a man that's never had his past sins forgiven is still dead. The Bible says he's dead in trespasses and he's dead in sins. The Bible says he needs quickened. And you and me that saved were quickened. Ephesians says, you hath he quickened who were dead in sins and trespasses. People in government tonight can do all sorts of programs and all sorts of actions and talks. But if they've never truly repented for the past and never come to the foot of the cross and took this remedy, they're dead in their sins. And their past remains. And because their past remains, they're under condemnation. Under condemnation. They have no life in them. They're under the judgment of God. They're under the penalty of sin. And the penalty of sin is death. But thank God tonight the blood of Jesus Christ forgives our past. It forgives our past. Thank God for that tonight. It cleanses us from past sin. You know, there's people, they want to reform men. They want to change the way of living. Turn over a new leaf. But the problem remains, their past records are never dealt with. And because the past records never dealt with, it remains. If they were brought before a court of God's law, they would be found guilty. But the man or woman that comes to Jesus Christ and repents of their sins and takes God's remedy, when they stand before God, there is no sin. Their past record's gone. It's washed away into the sea of God's forgetfulness. No longer to be remembered against them no more. Isn't that wonderful? That's why we have such peace tonight. Our past is gone. And it's gone to stay. Our sins must be removed. And it's only by the blood of Jesus Christ can we have our sins removed. Can you see this evening why the devil transforms himself, I'll say it like that, as angels of light, and he preach fancy doctrines and quotations that belittle and do away with God's remedy. He brings another gospel, which Paul says is no gospel. Paul goes further. Paul says, if an angel even comes from heaven and preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. And that word means, let the curse of God be upon him. There's only one gospel. I tell you, I believe in this gospel tonight. The prophets of old believed in this gospel. They preached it. They believed it. Thank God for it. Let me give you some scriptures this evening. Isaiah 44, verse 22. For I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions. And as a cloud thy sins return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. The Lord Jesus Christ has brought us back. We were sold out under sin. We belong to the God of this world. The Bible tells us we did. But the Lord Jesus Christ in love and mercy paid for us with his own precious blood. The Bible calls it the precious blood as of a lamb without spot or blemish. He paid for us with his life blood. We are paid for in full. We belong to the Lord tonight. People say to you, what organization do you belong to? You can tell him you belong to the Lord. That's the highest order that you can be in. And you don't join it. You're born into it. Just like you were born into whatever family, whether it's McKinstry or Thompson, or whether it's McDonald, you were born into it. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I want to tell you tonight, when you're born again, you're the new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Aren't you glad your past's gone? The devil can remind you of what he wants, but he's a liar. We'll deal with him later. Psalms 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. God has not only forgiven us, but he's took them clean away from us. No longer to be remembered against us, no more. In other words, if we're before God's court tonight, our past record cannot be brought up and used as evidence against us. Because Jesus Christ has done away with it. He's done away with it. It's been annihilated, done away with by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And it's gone. That's God's remedy for sin tonight. The blood of Christ. Micah 7 verse 19 says this. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea, into the depths of the sea. Want you to think this evening of the sea. Want you to think if you took a pebble from the beach or even a large stone and you threw it into the deep depths of the sea, I'll tell you, you would have a job to find it. That's what the Bible said. In other words, it'll never be found again. It'll never be remembered again. It's gone into the depths of the sea of God's forgetfulness. It cannot be brought against us because the blood of Jesus Christ has removed it. We're free because of God's remedy. Thank God for that remedy tonight. Isaiah 43:25 says this. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. This is the Lord tonight. The Lord will not remember our sins. You know, when I look at men of the past and I think of my own self and go back over my past life and I believe God. God led me this last few weeks to look back at things that God could show me something. And I'm so thankful for the Lord tonight that there's men that came close, but they never entered in. They came close and they never entered in because they never fully took God's remedy. They tried with their own efforts. They were like Cain. They might have brought stuff that looked good to people. They might have had a bit of a change. They maybe attended a service. They maybe went to church. They maybe done something for charity. But if they're not born again, they're still lost. God says, where I am, they cannot come. But thank God for God's remedy. Hebrews 8:12 says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. No matter what you've done, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Young person, I want you to think of that tonight. No matter what you've done, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. When God took a dealing with me, God convicted me of my sin. It convicted me. You see, people talk about people getting saved. There'll be no salvation if people's convicted. And I pray the Spirit of God will convict men and women to be saved. Here's another thing I want to show you. The blood cleanses from sin's present. The blood cleanses from sin's past. We've looked at that. But the blood also cleanses from sin's present. Even though we're saved, we can sin. Now I know there's people and they can't sin. They're that good, you know. They walk about and there's a halo floats over them. There's people like that. But I'm just an ordinary man. And I take it you're an ordinary man or a woman. And the Bible tells us that we have an advocate with the Father through Jesus Christ the righteous, who's a propitiation for our sin. Also, we read in our open scripture, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the fellowship one another in the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us all sin. Sometimes we'll do things we shouldn't do. So there's sometimes as Christians we need to ask the Lord to forgive us. Do you believe that? Sometimes we do wrong. So this blood cleanses from past sins. So when we weren't even saved and we got saved, it washed it all away. But now that we're saved and we could fall short, the blood will cleanse from present sin. I hope you're seeing this message tonight. This is why the devil wants it removed. Without this, you haven't much of a message. You haven't much of a message at all. That's why Spurgeon says, a man that doesn't preach the blood, never go twice to hear him, once from enough. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sins after we're saved. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We all know that the real Christian life's a battle. How many will agree with that? You know, William Branham said, I'm going to tell you tonight, it's not a bed of roses. A man asked him one day, says, William Branham, when you lost your wife and you lost your daughter and God never spoke to you, what did you think of your Christianity then? He says, that's when my Christianity really worked. Because I had an anchor that held me in them times. The Lord held him. The Lord kept him. And I tell you, when we go through trials and times that we can't explain and we go through battles as Christians, we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. The world doesn't have that tonight. The world's no hope. You know what the world will do? They'll go down to the pub And as I tell them at work, champagne at night, real pain in the morning. And they'll have a big night of drink and booze. And any overtime they work during the week, that's expense. And then they come in on a Monday and they're not fit to work and they run about like a bear all day. The money spent, their head sore, and they still have the problem. But Jesus Christ is a strong-breasted one. He's El Shaddai. And we can lean on him and succor on him and rest on him. And he'll bring us through the darkest storm. Hallelujah. What a friend. Friend that sticketh closer. We all know that's real Christian life. We know the enemy accuses us. He accuses us. Did he ever accuse you? You're not much of a Christian. If you're a Christian, you wouldn't do this and you wouldn't do that and you wouldn't do. He knows all how to tell you, doesn't he? But Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. The devil accused them, but the weapon God gave us against the devil is his remedy, the blood of Jesus. That's God's remedy for the devil. And even if I fall short and make a mistake, a prophet of God said, the blood lays there for you. And I know I've told it before, and I know most of you know it, but you know, some of us are self-righteous at times. How many will agree with me tonight? We're holier than the next one. William Branham went into the restaurant and the woman came to serve him and she was showing her flesh off too much. And there he was and he said, look at the state of her. And he tells it himself. And the Holy Spirit moved on him. And the Holy Spirit showed him a vision of the earth and the blood of Jesus Christ circling the earth. And then he showed him when he's a young man that the blood of Jesus acted like a bumper in a car. When someone would hit him, it protected him. It protected him from God's judgment. When he should have died, God protected him because of the blood. And he changed his self-righteous attitude toward that woman. Even though she was dressed wrong, even though she was backslidden and all them things, when he got to talk to her, she was a woman that was saved, but she was backslidden. And he says he took his hat off in the restaurant and he led her back to the Lord. But I tell you, we're quick to get the tape out, aren't we? Measuring tape. We'll throw the tape on somebody. Yeah. They're dressed wrong, or they look wrong. But we don't know the heart. What about the wee woman that played the organ? And the fella says, like she's playing your organ. And look the way she's dressed. And the prophet of God says, but I know, can see her heart's right, but yours is not. See, God can see more than we can see. And I tell you, we need to show mercy at times, for God showed us mercy. Not the truth. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses. When the, not just the saved from their past, but their present daily. Daily. Past and present. It cleanses. Here's another thought. The blood cleanses from sins possible. Sins possible. Any sin that anyone could ever possibly commit. Except the blasphemy. What I mean by that, possible. I mean all kinds of sin. The blood can cleanse a murderer. Now that's a shock for people. But we have to believe that. Because David orchestrated the murder of a man. And God forgive him. Paul held the coat of those that stoned Stephen. And God forgive him. And I'm sure there's men in this country that's done things. And the Lord's forgive them. Those that's come sincerely. Because the blood cleanses from all sin. The only thing it says, and a prophet of God brought it out, it says the blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. That'll not be forgiven in this world or the world to come. But all manner of sin shall be forgiven. So this remedy, it cleanses from every single type of sin. Even the homosexual tonight, if they'll come, God will cleanse them. God will forgive them. And you say, brother, do you believe it's a sin? Well, if adultery is a sin, homosexual is definitely a sin. And God wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah and three other cities because of it. Five in total, when you read about it. wiped them out, he burnt them. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And we're living in them days where sin's glorified. Men with men, women with women, it says in Romans, work on that thing which is unseemly. And God gives them over to reprobate mind. But all manner of sin shall be forgiven. Adultery, fornication, all manner of sin God can forgive because of this remedy, the blood of Jesus. I'll tell you, when you take this remedy out of this book, you haven't much of a message left. Oh, but brother, we've reached a higher peak of revelation. We can redeem ourselves. What is there in any man that can do anything? Because Jesus himself said, there's none good, no, not one. That's what Jesus said. I believe him. I don't care if a preacher can pull stars out of the clouds. And he's dressed as nice as he can be. He's a liar. A liar. If he puts himself up as a remedy and he says that he can do it, he's wrong. You know, a man can't even be saved till he acknowledges he can't do it. He needs to acknowledge his condition. Brother Andrew mentioned it as well last week. It's like the Lena saying, they need to acknowledge their condition before any can think of it done. And a man that's lost needs to acknowledge his condition before he can be saved. Because if he doesn't acknowledge it, would say he doesn't know he's lost. But once he acknowledges his condition, and he looks at God's roadmap, the Bible, and he sees that he's lost without Christ, and acknowledges condition, God can forgive from all sin. There's so many excuses people make for not getting saved and living the Christian life. I'm going to mention some of them. There are too many hypocrites in the church. Probably it's true, there is some. Jesus said there would always be hypocrites. There was hypocrites in the day when he was here. There'll be hypocrites today. We should never let the hypocrites keep us from believing in God, because there's more real Christians than there's hypocrites. Amen? There's more real 20 pound notes than there is false 20 pound notes. And there's more real Christians than there is hypocrites. And it won't work when they stand before God and they say, well, I want to come, only such the one was a hypocrite. That's not going to work. That won't work. They'll be asked what Pilate asked him. What will you do with Jesus called Christ? What did you do with the remedy? Well, such no one put me at the remedy. Won't work. Many say, I'm doing the best I can. That's not what God's asking you. God's not asking nobody, are you doing the best you can? Your best won't do. It won't do. And as soon as you do the best you can, you take yourself further away. Because Ephesians says, it's not by works, lest any man can boast. I'll tell you, when I got saved, I was not doing the best I could do. I was doing my worst. I'll tell you that right now. You see, you don't come to God with doing the best you can. He takes you as you are. He takes you as you are. He takes you as a filthy, hell-deserving sinner, as you are. And he gives you a remedy that cleanses you and makes you clean and makes you a child of the King. He takes you as you are. Isn't that great? But he takes us as we are. And he makes childs. You know, Sidney Murray did a lot of science, but there were good ones. We, Sidney Murray, used to say, from Johnny Walker, whiskey to the gospel talker, from Hernan Pickin to ham and chicken. Praise God, he liberated me. From handcuffs to white cuffs. He'd would have given a wee skip out of him in the jump. The Lord blessed him. It's true. The Lord took him the way he was. He asked, would he get a cure in there? They said, you will, come in. And he got one. The blood. The remedy. He got the cure. He never got it in the whiskey. He never got it in the jail. He never got it amongst his friends. But he got it on a place called Calvary through a man called Jesus. He got the cure and he got the remedy. It changed him. It changed him. not only did it change him, but through him, God used him. And many more were changed. Millions have come. Hallelujah. But there's still room for one. Still room. Still room tonight. Titus 3 verse 5 and 6 says this. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Now, pause a moment, and I know I'm hitting hard on this false doctrine that I've mentioned, and I'm going to continue doing it. And I hope some of them get these messages I'm preaching and get a real good dose of it, for they badly need it. Amen. And if you're listening to any of them, you're wasting your time. Because any man that tells you he can redeem himself is false. Here it is. Abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. We could never save ourselves. We needed the Lord. There was nothing in any of us to save us. I know that God knows everyone that's going to come. I believe in predestination. I believe in Walmart. But it's God that predestines, not me or you. It's God that foreknew us. It's God that put our name in the book. We never done it. We don't know about it. We don't even know what God will do next week unless he shows us. And there's one scripture said there's nobody as blind as God's servants. Is that the Bible? That's the Bible. If God doesn't show us, we'll not know. Now God could show us. God could show a man in this meeting something that's going to happen. I believe that. But if God doesn't, we could dream about it. But it mightn't be God. Now, I mean, fantasize about it. To dream from God, it'll happen. Some sincere people say, I'm afraid. I can't live it. I'm afraid I can't live it. Till as many as receive him, to them gives he the power to become the sons of God. You can't live it, but he'll live it in you. If you really get the person of the Lord Jesus, that's the one you're wanting to get. You need to get the Savior. You need to get the Lord Jesus. And when you really get the Lord Jesus, he'll live it in you. For greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He'll live it in you. See, God's given us this remedy. This remedy is the precious blood of Christ. Here's my last thought tonight. You are listening well. Past, present, then all types of sin. And here's another important thing. The blood cleanses us from sin's penalty. Did you get that? It cleanses us from sin's penalty. There's a price for sin that has to be paid. There's a penalty for sin. But the blood of Jesus saves us from the penalty of sin. We escape it because of God's remedy. What is the penalty of sin? Romans 6 and 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Without Jesus Christ, without the blood, the wages of sin's death. And it doesn't just mean when you reach a certain age you'll die. It means separation from God when you die. And then the lake of fire at the end, where everything's wiped out. The second death, the Bible calls it. And you know that old dragon's cast into the lake of fire. That's the penalty of sin. But Jesus Christ's blood saves us from the penalty of sin. So that when we die as believers, we are absent from the body and we're present with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? We've hope tonight the world hasn't got. James 1:15 says, for when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's what sin brings forth, death. Cain, you see, Cain, what Cain brought, God never received it. God rejected it. God said, you've offered well, but it's not accepted. The Bible says he was wroth, and his countenance fell. And have you ever seen people
people, and they think they're good, and they probably live good. And I've never harmed a fly, they'll tell you. And I do this for my neighbour, and I do something else for him. And that's all. There's nobody condemning that. That's wonderful. But that won't save you. And then when you tell them that they're sinners on the way to hell, the countenance changes, doesn't it? It changes. And from somebody that's such a quiet person and peaceful, it near takes the head off you. Wouldn't it? Well, I've had them turn on me before. I'll tell you, it's not the first time. I've had my face slapped. I've had all sorts of things happen. When you tell somebody the truth, the Lord had his beard plucked. They batted his face with a reed on his face. They bruised his cheeks. They beat the crown of thorns into his forehead. They beat it in. They put the stripes on his back. They stripped him naked. They spat on him. They mocked him. They put a sign over him, King of the Jews, in mockery. And he was put on the cross absolutely naked. And he was made a shame in front of the whole world. Because he loves us. He loves us tonight. John 3 and 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God's remedy tonight. Romans 5 and 12, and I'm almost finished. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So every single man that's born of a woman is under the death penalty. We're on death row. Whether a man wants to believe it or not, he's dead when he's walking. But the lovely Lord Jesus paid the debt of sin with his own precious blood on the cross. And look at verse 17 says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." So just as one man called Adam brought universal separation, universal condemnation, there's another man who's the Lord from heaven. And he brought justification, sanctification, and cleansing by the remedy. Can I tell you that remedy is available tonight? It still works. It's lost none of its ancient power. I know the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it's the power of God. God's remedy. I tell you, maybe you've heard the gospel before. Maybe somebody listening in tonight, and you go along to the fellowship and they preach great mysteries. That's wonderful. But are you saved? Have you ever received this remedy? I'm not asking you when you come to the movement. I'm not asking you when you joined an organization. I'm asking you, do you know the person of Christ? You ever come to the Lord? You ever got down on your knees and repented of your sins and invited Jesus in? Joel, the book of Romans 10 and 9, the book of Acts, they all say the same thing, that it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus Christ is mighty to save all who come. He's mighty to save. And there's a remedy tonight for all sin. Let's stand our feet this evening as the musicians get ready. I want us to stand and close our eyes just for a moment. God's remedy is real. Don't you worry about can you keep it. Don't you worry about what you'll do with it. Come as you are. And the Lord will receive you. The Lord will accept you. There's one in this meeting, one listening in tonight, and you'd want prayer. Will you lift your hand up before the Lord? Or somebody that's listening, tuned in. You know what you can do? You can call on the name of the Lord tonight and be saved. You can come to this remedy and you'll be saved. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. We thank you for the greatest remedy that this world's ever seen. The precious blood of Jesus Christ as of a lamb without spot or blemish. We thank you that the blood of the Lamb of God cleanses us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Cover us and wash us all in the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Pray, Lord, you'll give deciding grace to those that hear this message. Maybe someone even in this very room that's not saved. Pray, God, the Holy Spirit will move them. Bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. Ask you tonight, Lord, for any that's sick or afflicted in their body. With the wounds you received on the cross, by your stripes we were healed. We claim that healing tonight. And men and women in this house, to those that's listening in, touch the hip, touch the back, touch the body. Wherever there's an ailment tonight, may they be healed. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray you'll get all the praise and get all the glory. Bless you, musicians, as you come. Bless Brother Gary and bless each one in this house tonight. Pray for all the children. Bless them and strengthen them and keep them. Amen. In Jesus' precious name. And Lord, for those of us with loved ones that's not saved, Lord, they're far away tonight on the hills, as it were, like a sheep going astray. But Lord, you were willing to leave the 99 and go after the one. Father, I pray for the lost sheep tonight. Father, that you'll reach out and you'll grip them and move them. Speak to them. Speak to the backslidden tonight. Speak a word into their innermost being. Turn them again and bring them to the remedy. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one.
Amen. Let's sing that little hymn perfectly tonight. Mercy rewrote my life. Amen.